Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to the Babylon Bee. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is Bob Enyart Live. How could you forget which show you are? Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, we're going to talk about a new news site that's been launched by the comedians at the Babylon Bee. They are funny guys. They're Calvinists. They are pretty hysterical. It's a satirical news site modeled after The Onion, which has been on college campuses for decades. Some of the headlines, I'll read you some of the headlines that are on their homepage right now. Well, they have launched a site that is straight news modeled after the Drudge Report. And the Drudge Report, he is so salacious, he's so addicted to pornography and sexual perversion. He's obsessed with sexual perversion, and he fills his website news headlines with items that link to articles about sexual perversion. And he really has made quite an effort to mainstream, like, the porn industry, reporting 100 articles. I've never clicked on not a single one of them, but 100 articles over the past few years about the porn industry. Any kind of sexual perversion in the news, you can count on Matt Drudge to promote it. Also, he promotes sites that feed into people's paranoia, their mental illness, like Alex Jones at InfoWars and others, and sites typically not the National Enquirer, but maybe just a cut above the National Enquirer, especially over in England. If somebody spots in a NASA photograph an alien ship on the moon, he just may link to that article. So having a Christian news aggregator would be wonderful, and the Babylon Bee has come out with their Christian Daily Reporter, so we'll look at that in just a moment. First, I want to talk about the ratings from the Grammys, the Music Awards show this weekend, and the NFL. It's interesting. The Grammys, they were down, what, 20% from last year, and even that has been falling. The NFL has been down about 12% for the year, and now Super Bowl 52 is coming up on Sunday. So throughout this NFL season, I have not watched the NFL, and I tell you, I got so much of my life back. Not that I wasn't a fan who had to watch every game, even for the Broncos, and I didn't even have to watch every playoff game. I'd be happy at one of my son's homes during the Super Bowl if I only caught half of the Super Bowl and just enjoyed fellowship and talking. So I'm not a hardcore fan, but probably 3 or 4 hours a week, I got back for 17 weeks, and then the playoff season. And you know what? I really enjoyed it. The only thing that hasn't happened so far, and it probably won't happen during the Super Bowl that I was rooting for, was for both teams to lose. As far as I know, until, let's say, the Great Tribulation hits, that's probably never going to happen in an NFL playoff game or a Super Bowl. Wouldn't that be something if that was one of the bowls? It's like one of the bowl judgments. And God said there's these 7 bowl judgments. He said, oh, yes, part of that is the Super Bowl and the Orange Bowl, and they're just not going to be able to score against each other. Now, that would really send people into a tizzy. So the reason that I was glad that people were not only not watching NFL games on television, but they weren't going to stadiums, now not all stadiums, but many would have thousands of people not show up for seats. Seats that were being resold. The NFL, for decades, they would not advertise seats for resale. It was like beneath them. And so they started doing that this season, $10 seats, $5 seats, $3 seats. It was embarrassing to be on TV and have 8,000 empty seats in your stadium. Real embarrassing. And that happened to a number of teams on a number of Sundays this season. And it's also, of course, the viewership being down, the commitments to the advertisers that the NFL has made and the networks have made. And so when your viewership goes down by 12%, that doesn't cut your costs. It cuts into your profit, your income. And so it couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of people, because the protest, let's say there are Americans who say, I don't want to salute the flag because we're killing unborn children. Now, that's reasonable. That's perfectly reasonable. But the NFL protest was a racist Black Lives Matter scam protest based on false narratives. And so the protest itself was racist. The Black Lives Matter movement is racist. Within the black community, blacks have been told now for at least 30 years through our university professors, academia, and even the media, that blacks cannot be racist. Have you ever heard that? Blacks cannot be racist? That's one of the most demeaning things that is said about blacks publicly, openly, that blacks cannot be racist, because it's a dehumanizing thing. They would have to not be human beings for them to not be able to be racist. It's just like you can't love unless you have the ability to hate. Remember that? You cannot love unless you have the ability to hate. And racism is a form of hatred. You cannot be human unless you have the ability to hate. You cannot love your neighbor unless you have the ability to hate him and to be a racist. But when you tell a community that they cannot be racist for decades, you know what happens then? Whatever racism does exist in that community, like other communities, it doesn't just fester. It's nurtured, it's fertilized, it's watered, and it becomes this bumper crop, this harvest. And so racism is rampant in the black community. Racism is rampant in the black community, far worse than it is in the white community. Racism. And so because the NFL stood behind a racist protest, that's why personally I enjoyed not watching NFL games, getting a huge chunk of my life back. And you know what? I enjoyed the fall and the winter so far more than in the years that I watched NFL games. Now the Super Bowl's coming up. We'll see what happens with the ratings. I'm rooting for both teams to lose, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I'm not even going to pray for that to happen. You know, I don't pray for miracles. And I say that as the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Still, I do pray all the time. And probably 95, 99% of the time, I pray for relationship and relationship with the Lord and myself and my family and loved ones and others. But usually I'm not asking God for things, but I'm relating to him and I'm thanking him and praising him, worshiping him. But I never pray for anything that would require God to supersede the physical laws or even the spiritual laws that he has established at the creation. I pray about his Holy Spirit working in someone's heart, but I wouldn't pray for God to prevent both teams from scoring so that at the end of regulation, the score is 0-0. And then they go into overtime periods, and it's 0-0 and 0-0, and six overtimes, 0-0, 10, 12. It's the next morning, it's still 0-0, and the NFL just doesn't know what to do. I mean, that would be funny, wouldn't it? But I'm not going to pray for that. Okay, so to the Babylon Bee. So the Babylon Bee is this satirical website. It's fake news, but in a really good way. Alternative facts. For example, I'm going there Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. A couple headlines, not from their brand new straight news site, but from the Babylon Bee. Senate Democrats refuse to grant legal status to children dreaming of being born. That's a great story. Like that story. Then, of course, these headlines link to, they have written these stories in the manner of The Onion, where they're just completely fabricated. And then this one, Trump supporter executed live on stage at Grammy Awards. It's fun. It's funny. It's interesting. And the stories, they're just great. They even poke fun at Calvinists sometimes, which is funny because they are Calvinists, but they try to not be so obvious. One of their stories buzzing now is survey, nation's Calvinists strongly support war with Armenia. That is funny. Now, Armenia, they say over there. Obviously, Arminius, the theologian who opposed Calvinism, he actually agreed with so much of Calvinism, including about God being impassible, that is, having no emotions, and God being immutable, unable to change. How does God the Son become a man if he's unable to change? And he agreed that the future was settled, exhaustively settled from eternity past. So even though, was Arminius an Arminian? I guess he was, right? Even though they believe in free will, they believe that every decision you make has been foreknown and nothing could change the unalterable future. So if you have five kids and they're still young, if two are going to go to heaven and three are going to go to hell, sure, you have free will, but it's all settled in advance. That's Arminianism. Isn't that weird? People think Arminianism would be different than that, but that's what it is. And they also, both sides, think that God himself doesn't have free will. God himself is unable to do anything other than what has been eternally decreed. Okay, so that's the Babylon Bee. They are funny, and they have now launched the Christian Daily Reporter. Today's the first. They've just done this, so I heard about this today, went over there, hoping for the best. And it's interesting, if you don't have a solid biblical worldview, then when you attempt to affirm what is true and right and decent and obvious, you very well may be affirming what is wicked. I've noticed this with homeschool speech and debate classes. They have kids take different sides of issues and they debate them. And they're very aware they don't want one side to be debating something that is immoral. So they try to find controversial issues that don't revolve around right and wrong. It would be like if we were considering going to the metric system. That'd be a good example of a debate that doesn't revolve around right and wrong, because that is merely human convention. But time and time again, these well-meaning Christian homeschool speech and debate efforts, they pick topics that invariably have the kids, one side or the other, debating, arguing for something that is immoral, something that is wicked. You have to be aware. You have to be an expert on right and wrong. That's why the Bible says that teachers receive the stricter judgment. To whom much is given, much is required. So let's take a look here. Christian Daily Reporter. This is their top headline. Senate Dems kill 20-week abortion ban. Right, that's it's well written. Senate Dems kill 20-week abortion ban. Depths of Human Depravity is the subtitle. Then they have two Republicans cross the aisle. Trump asks Senate to reconsider. So you read these headlines. Let's go to a couple of these stories. And you get the idea that a 20-week abortion ban is good. And the Democrats, they're bad. And so the Republicans are good and the Democrats are bad, except that what the Republicans and the pro-lifers and Trump are trying to accomplish is brutally, viciously wicked. Now, how can that be, you say? How can that possibly be? How could it possibly be with so many conservative Christians supporting something like a 20-week abortion ban? How could that be? So before we go right to that, the second story caught my eye. The two Republicans who voted against the 20-week abortion ban, right? So these obviously are Republican senators who are just overtly pro-abortion. So let's see who they are. Republican Senators Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Ah, Alaska. Those northerners, you just can't trust them. The further you get from the sun, and then there's Susan Collins of Maine. Ha ha! Another northerner. All right, so they're the two Republicans who didn't go along. John McCain was absent for them, but they voted against this bill. Actually, it was a vote against voting on the bill, which effectively stops it. So, to make my point about how could it be that so many Republicans, so many pro-lifers, so many Christians would support something that is just wicked, something that's just evil, someone who's actually pro-abortion, let me pick up on this Alaska, all right? There was another politician from Alaska who the entire pro-life industry rallied behind. Her name was Sarah Palin. Remember her from ancient history? Sarah Palin. She was the Republican governor of Alaska. If you'd like documentation for anything I'm about to say about Sarah Palin, just Google Sarah Palin pro-life or Sarah Palin abortion, or go to prolifeprofiles.com and look at Sarah Palin's profile. So here she is, right? She wanted to be vice president on the McCain-Palin ticket. Her actual abortion record and rhetoric is shocking to the conscience, in that Sarah Palin happily appointed in 2009 a Planned Parenthood board member to the Alaska State Supreme Court. Knowing her background, she is a Planned Parenthood board member, a public activist who supports killing unborn children. And Sarah Palin said she would be great for Alaska. She'll be great for Alaska. So does that tell you anything at all? Does it tell you anything? Like all the Republicans who voted for the 20-week abortion ban, does it tell you anything that this past year they gave to Planned Parenthood hundreds of millions of dollars? Does that tell you anything? And then they supported a ban that they were pretty sure would fail anyway. And Planned Parenthood, of course, opposes regulating abortion. If this were really important to them, do you think they would pass budgets giving Planned Parenthood hundreds of millions of dollars and Donald Trump would sign those budgets, actually the bills that extended our government spending? So she appointed a Planned Parenthood board member to the state Supreme Court. Her position on chemical abortifacients that kill the youngest children is that they should be legal. She distinguishes between her personal and her public pro-life views. Now, personally pro-life means officially pro-choice, in case you've never realized that. Rather than fighting for protection, Sarah Palin supports even public funding to kill some unborn children. She whitewashes other candidates, misleading millions to believe that pro-choice politicians are pro-life. She allows her name to be used in ads promoting even tax-funded embryonic stem cell research on the harvested baby parts of children killed in abortion. She harms the effort to recognize the personhood of the unborn child by holding that equal protection should not apply to unborn children. She has never supported any state's personhood amendment. She opposes personhood by claiming that the majority can decide to legalize the killing of children. If you remember when she accepted the vice presidential nomination, she said there is a time for politics and a time for leadership. Huh. Time for leadership, huh? From Sarah Palin. Her claim to fame, why pro-lifers said she was a hero, is because she didn't kill her own child. Imagine that, how far we've sunk. We have sunk so far that if you don't kill your own child, that's your pro-life bona fides. That means you are ready to be a leader to protect unborn children because you didn't kill your own. Isn't that sick? That's pretty sick. So now let's go back to the homepage for the Babylon Bee's brand new Christian Daily Reporter. There's their top story, Senate Dems kill 20-week abortion ban, depths of human depravity. So this abortion ban, this 20-week abortion ban, we have been regulating child killing for decades, and millions of children are killed by surgical and chemical and mechanical abortifacients every year in America. Sexual immorality prevails. Millions of Christians who go to Bible-believing churches no longer know right from wrong. And much of it is because of the leadership they've gotten from groups like Focus on the Family, National Right to Life, Concerned Women for America, Eagles Forum, and so on. Consider this, 20-week late-term abortion ban. You know who supports this? You know who supports late-term abortion bans? The founder of the National Abortion Federation. Did you know that? Her name is Frances Kissling. If you go to AmericanRightToLife.org/regulations, you'll see who she is. She is the founder not only of the National Abortion Federation, but she's also the founder of Catholics for Choice. How's that? Let me read to you what she wrote in the Washington Post. She's radically pro-abortion. And when you hear her words, you'll realize that pro-life abortion regulations have backfired and they have actually helped to sustain the abortion industry. So, here's what Frances Kissling, founder of the National Abortion Federation, wrote in the Washington Post. The abortion rights movement, right? The movement, the abortion rights movement, not the pro-life movement, the abortion rights movement must itself advocate for regulations. And she lists examples of the regulations that she argues that Planned Parenthood and other pro-aborts should support. She includes clinic regulations, parental involvement, ban on late-term post-viability abortions, except in extreme cases, which sounds awfully Republican. Now, why would that be? She wants to ensure the long-term survival of the abortion industry. And so she argues that, quote, if we don't suggest sensible regulation of abortion, we will be left with no choices at all. So, in this article at American Right to Life, Oppose Abortion Regulations Because, that's the title of the article, there's a list of bullets that explain to people who care about right and wrong what actually happens when you regulate abortion. So, listen to these bullets. Abortion regulations. Regulations merely prune the abortion weed and strengthen its root, for they make abortion seem more acceptable to the public and to politicians. For on the surface, such regulations undermine the very concept of the right to life. As they call upon judges, we have put on the bench, we pro-lifers, to uphold laws that regulate killing kids. Do you follow all that so far? Is it complicated? It's not complicated. Regulations. If this ban passed, it would make America more like Europe, where they don't have late-term abortion, Western Europe. They have early abortion, and they have virtually no pro-life or abolition movement because abortion is so humane. It's so reasonable. And the pro-aborts, the abortionists in Europe, look at America and they think we're barbaric. We should get rid of late-term abortion. Then nobody would care. So, again, regulations merely prune the abortion weed and strengthen its root. For they, first bullet, make abortion seem more acceptable to the public and politicians. Second bullet, for on the surface, such regulations undermine the very concept of the right to life, don't they? If Christian pro-lifers enact laws that say if you want an abortion, you have to sign this paper, informed consent, that say if you want abortion, you have to wait 24 hours, right? Well, those laws undermine the concept of the right to life, because if the baby had a right to life, you cannot just comply with some bureaucratic rules and then kill the baby. Can't do that. For third bullet, as these regulations call upon judges whom we put on the bench to uphold laws that regulate killing kids. That's how they undermine the very concept of the right to life. That's the third bullet. The fourth bullet, and so they turn conservative judges increasingly against the right to life of the unborn, like Neil Gorsuch. Neil Gorsuch, who testified, go to our website, kgov.com, and click on our YouTube channel, and you'll see our personhood abolitionist playlist, and you'll see Neil Gorsuch. And basically, he was utterly condemning the notion that any judge or politician or anyone should refuse to acknowledge the Supreme Court's authority for the killing of innocent children. Killing of those children. If he were in Germany, he would have said the same thing about the killing of the Jews, because that's all judicial legal positivism and moral relativism. So the fifth bullet, these regulations led American Right to Life to offer $10,000 to National Right to Life to name one justice on the U.S. Supreme Court who has ever said that the child has a right to life. Just name one, and they're majority Republican. Just name one that National Right to Life has ever supported. Name one of those judges on the bench, in a majority opinion, in a minority dissent, in a private talk. Just one, you get $10,000. Of course they can't do it. Another bullet, abortion regulations could easily authorize 100 million abortions after Roe v. Wade is overturned, if it ever is, by the court. Another, regulations will keep abortion legal, so-called legal, if abortion is ever wickedly just returned to the states. How so? Because regulations typically say that abortion is illegal, except if you wait, if you do it quickly, if you consent, and so on. Regulations violate God's enduring command, do not murder, by reauthorizing abortion. Regulations also reduce the God-given right to life to a second-tier negotiable matter. And they clean up the act of the abortion industry by improving their public relations image. That's what so-called pro-life regulations do. Regulations ensure children are killed in more humane, sterile, and reasonable ways. And they confuse many on our own side into defending various exceptions as good. And violating the command in Romans chapter 3, verse 8, abortion regulations do evil that good may come. They ignore that scriptural warning. And they're often like the partial birth abortion ban, which Dr. Dobson said does not save a single human life. Or they are like the born alive protection laws, which ensure that abortionists kill the baby sooner. Or they're like late-term bans that often result in quicker decisions to kill innocent children. Or they're like parental consent laws, which promote the epidemic use of Plan B abortifacient steroids. And regulations can only prolong but never stop the murder of unborn children, for they end with the meaning, and then you can kill the baby. Huh? What? My producers. Oh, I did. Okay. He's saying I left out a few bullets. All right. Oh, those right there. Okay. Oops. Let's squeeze them in real quickly. Well, they're all on the American Right to Life page, AmericanRTL.org/regulations. But let's squeeze them in right now. Another bullet, and these regulations trick pro-lifers into voting for pro-abortion politicians who support these regulations. There are many times where a Democrat politician is in a district or a state that leans pro-life, and so they'll pick something like the partial birth abortion ban, and they'll support it. Even though, as Dr. James Dobson eventually admitted, after we took out our full-page ad letter to him in the Colorado Springs Gazette. And he wrote that ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life. So some Democratic politician who's worried he's going to lose, he ends up supporting one of these bogus pro-life regulations that allow for the killing of millions of children, and he gets elected to the U.S. Senate, to the House of Representatives, because there are people who give lip service to the God-given right of life to the unborn child, but then they vote for politicians who kill those children, who fund killing those children. These regulations elect pro-choicers by giving them political cover for their calculated support. And they're just variations on Roe v. Wade. These regulations, this 20-week ban, is just a variation on Roe v. Wade, which itself was a late-term abortion regulation. And these laws could easily authorize 100 million abortions, even if Roe v. Wade was ever overturned. For they keep abortion legal. They keep abortion legal even if abortion had ever been returned to the states. All right. So the Babylon Bee and their straight news website, they're both a little bit of fake news, it said. Hey, God bless you guys.